You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and all over God's magnificent planet.
That's right, on 1510wwbc.com. Hit that listen live button. Get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, there we also archive the shows under the on-demand button. You can select any Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You'll see Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And then, of course, we share all of that great information, the pictures, the biographies, and so forth, and websites and information about all of our guests on our social media channels, which is Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And then, of course, on our website, which is SitaMediaInc.com.
What a wonderful Monday. I woke up this morning, Ms. Ellen, and I said, our good friend Christine is coming in. We have Catherine calling in soon. And I thought, every time you open your eyes in the morning, it's such a gift.
It really is.
You know, because people complain about things that happened yesterday and the day before and 10 years ago. Well, guess what? We're moving forward. And so for our listeners who are tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends this morning, on Mondays, we sit here for an hour. It's kind of like our living room. We sit here with Danny. Ellen O'Neill is my co-host. She's been with me for 14 years. I think it's 15. I'm not sure.
We're right on the cusp of 15. But when I was going back and looking, it was like today or yesterday was our official, like, one of the dates that I could go back and say, okay, it's actually been 14. I think we have two more months and we hit our 15 year.
Well, thank you for being a good friend, a great co-host, and someone that I could count on with my right hand. A friend with a real capital F.
You're awesome.
So, and then we have Allie Tambor. Allie's husband, Doug, was one of our guests when we first started. And when Doug passed away, Allie decided to join us and come sit with us on Mondays. And sometimes she'll jump right in and ask a question or two. And it's wonderful. My good friend, Dee, came by today. Hi, Dee. She came by to say hello. And, you know, we talk about things here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. It's a very fun, unscripted, educational, and quite informative show. Whether you want to open a business, whether you want to talk about the aging process, whether you want to talk about a life experience, something that changed your life and made you say, this is an aha moment, and I'm going to open a nonprofit, or maybe you just want to talk about voting, or you want to talk about why we should vote and who we should vote for, and you're talking about, you know, sometimes people want to talk about being advocates for clean air and water and all the great thing that comes with this life that we call existence on planet Earth. You have a platform here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And sitting next to me, it's a good friend of mine. I met Christine Canavan Hunt, I want to say about, oh my God, I
you
have
knew
to
my
say,
grandmother.
Was yeah, it 25 years
her.
Ago?
She died 22 years ago.
I met you way back in 1996 or something like that. And at that time, Christine was taking care of her grandma, and she was one of the people that motivated so many people to give love to their parents and show how to take care of the elderly with such dignity. And so she started a nonprofit called A Granddaughter's Promise, and she's also a certified dementia practitioner. She'll be talking with us in a little bit. Our second segment is with a woman that we all admire here in Brevard County, Florida, Dr. Catherine Rudloff. She serves as the executive director of We Ventures Women Business Center. She's a good friend of mine and Ellen's, and she'll be calling in at 1:35.
And mine
that's
too.
Right.
And
yes,
all of ours.
All,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
We've all been groupies.
Yeah, we all reconnected at
what
the
a
big
show. By
yes,
the way,
we
and I do want to make sure I mention that Dr. Christopher Przinski is sponsoring the We Venture segment.
He's a wonderful neurologist.
A neurologist right here in town. Neuro-speed.com.
That's right.
Neuro-speed.com.
You know, people ask me all the time, where do you find such fantastic guests for your show? And it is by the grace of God that when you know, a lot of us have issues where we don't speak to other people sometimes. But I open this God-given voice that I have, and I talk to people, and I market, and I find that God sends good people your way if your heart's in the right place. And Christine and I, we connected at the gala recently, We Venture. And then my guest for today called in because that person is ill. And how do you know? She's here. And I'm so happy. Yeah.
Oh
so talk
gosh.
To us a little
I
bit about.
I am so happy.
About, you know, what have
the
you
connection.
Been. Yeah, Bill, the thing is, you came on the show when we first started.
That's right.
And we've kept up with life and all the curves that life throws for us. And then we reconnected.
How exciting.
And here we are. We're back together.
And one thing I want to point out that you mentioned just a moment ago is the people resurfacing in your life. And you gave accolades, but don't we both believe that you attract what you are, Sita?
You get back in life what you put out.
I want to say thank you
for
what you consistently do in our community. In every platform where you're not earning money, you inspire. Your book inspired me. So these are seeds that were planted in good soil. And as you said, we all went our different ways, had to learn lessons. Thank God for those lessons, those teaching skills, and brought us back together on a really special way.
Right.
So I am so glad to be back here.
Well, you know,
today.
Your grandmother, Christine, when you came into the nursing facility to take care of her on a daily basis, the staff all remembered when you walked in. It was not that you came there to judge anyone, but you were offering us support and how to care for her with so much love. And you inspired a whole bunch of nurses and nursing assistants and other family members too, how when you make that promise to take someone until the end of life, that you follow through on it.
You know what? Thank you. That blesses me. And I think we are all appointed a purpose. And during that time, I didn't know anything about being an effective caregiver. All I knew is that I had two small children and my grandmother, and I had a great circle of people. And what I didn't realize is how vulnerable we all become when we're placed in a position of it being our own family member. And so we rely on others to safeguard us. But that didn't happen in my case once I left Brevard County, which is the story of a granddaughter's promise. I placed my grandmother in assisted living, having no idea the ins and outs, spent 4 hours in this assisted living. And my grandmother went in on a baby aspirin and an Aricept. And I was told, as many are, is don't come back. Let them transition. Come back in 30 days. Well, I made phone calls. I was told she was fine when she really wasn't fine. During that time, they were switching her medications, and I came to visit her before the 30 days, and I found her slumped over with red lips and burns and staples in her head, and she was being terribly abused to the point where she passed away. And after she died, I dedicated my life to help the vulnerable by learning as much as I can when it comes to finding living options, knowing what your rights are, who to speak to, who not to speak to, and funding that's available. And this is where I am now, Sita. I want to offer these beautiful marbles of wisdom and resources to the community so they can, in turn, mitigate that risk of death, abuse, or even that stress on our own lives.
So when did you become a certified dementia practitioner? Because you weren't one when we met.
You know what? I was not. And I didn't know my fanny from my elbow at that point either. It was just, you remember that? It was just like, go, go, go. And so we got to learn as we went. And it was just a few years ago that I found that and my husband's working on his second PhD. I mean, he's just brilliant. And we enjoy these conversations. And he said to me, you know, I think you should do this. You deserve it. And I've never, another lesson learned is my worth. I think once I realized my worth at that point, I said, I deserve those letters. I love what I do, and I deserve it. So at that point, I decided to get it because I've earned it, and I'm worth having.
I know, and I'm so glad you did, because, you know, the elderly, they're the minority that we become.
The only minority that we become.
We do. You know, we can't be any other minority, because we all know we're born to pass away. We're born to die, let's be honest, right?
We're born terminal.
Right. And mm-hmm. so with that comes so many issues with aging. You know, since I work in a nursing facility, I always say to people about the aging process, think about this. There's a function in human being, and at one point that person has to have to give up their car keys, the key to their front door. Well, of course, now we have digital locks. They have to give up their bank account. They have to give up their financial security, and they have to go into either a nursing facility or an assisted living. And you brought up a great point earlier about, as we age and dementia and Alzheimer's and all these things set in, and the cognitive decline setting, that people should have a choice to live in place, age in place.
You know what? And I'm so glad you brought that up, because that is what we're faced with now. And my concern, you mentioned falls. You mentioned mm-hmm. being placed so quickly. And that's how quick it happens. The keys are taken away. You're in the hospital. Hopefully you're in rehab. While you're in rehab, people are looking for assisted living. And then you go through the whole journey. And then you decorate the room. And the family comes. And the balloons are there. And then they shut the door. And is this, which is...
You just described every person's a nightmare.
Which is
that's
why
what happens.
That's correct. Which is why my husband and I'm very excited about this. As I said, he is finishing his second PhD. He has an Ed D and he's doing a Psych D, and we are opening up a practice called Head Trip, the psychology of a fall. What's important to me is that anybody who's been through this, whether it's the caregiver who has to have a full time job, be a parent, grandparent, or the employee, nobody is helping the mindset of the caregiver or the elderly person who's had everything stripped away. We forget that they deserve the opportunity for their mental health to be acknowledged. And that's something that we're missing in Brevard County. And we're very excited to start that now, is addressing the psychosis and the psychology of what's happening to caregivers and for the resident that's moving in.
Because not every person who are elderly wants to be moved out of their home. And so do you then, when you counsel with families and you talk to them about long-term planning, do you say to them, hey, let's talk to mom and dad or grandma, grandpa, and see what is it this person want at the end of life, when before hospice, before palliative care, something has to be set in place. And you offer a lot of guidance on that.
I am so glad that you brought that up, because we have, 21 years in business, as you know, I was one of the first to be on your shows.
Yes.
Back then it was awesome.
Yes.
But you know, here's the thing. Just repeat your question one more time. I just want to make sure that I answer.
You know, like, how do you guide people?
So the first thing that
age in place?
Yeah, the first thing that I want to start with to be most effective, like a smooth stone tossed into a still pond. We want that ripple to be effective. So I like to speak to corporations and companies about their caregivers. Come in and speak about caregiving. And that allows us to look at this and view this as, well, we take care of our finances. We take care of our long-term care policies. We take care of even finding a stone for our grave. But we don't talk about stepping into this. And this is why it's important that people need to realize that not making a decision is making a decision. That sweet spot between, oh my gosh, I don't want to put them in assisted living, but they can't be alone. Well, that's a problem we all ignore. And that space, that senior stability space, which we have opened, is equipment that you may not realize will mitigate the risk of you having to put them into an assisted living. So we come out and talk with you about different pieces of equipment to mitigate the risk of fall. What's the natural behaviors of someone reaching for something? How to set up your home?
Or a dog. Sometimes they're walking a dog and they get tied up in the leash.
Happened to my aunt with a dog.
Right in the rose
bush. That's right. Okay. And things happen that quick. So having a plan in place, having a granddaughter's promise advocate at your side from day one, telling you what to say at the hospital when you're told you need to leave, right? You don't know the right words to speak in order to what needs to happen to come into effect. So allow us to be your words and your guidance when you're fearful, right? So staying in your own home is great if you have the next step of safety. And how are you going to do that? You're going to talk to us because we're going to tell you, we've done the research. This is the best way to set up the home to mitigate the risk. A lot of people don't want to put cameras in the bathroom, right? First thing you think of is, oh, I'm invading their privacy. Well, not if you put it down low and only see ankles. Hello?
Yeah. And that comes with, you know, that comes with the experience of somebody like you.
And what about they can't hear, so they're isolated, and he won't go and have his ears done. Hello? Let's go get a stethoscope and hold it. Put it around his neck. Decorate it so you can speak into it. You can speak into it. Do you remember those when the kids had them?
Yes.
Do they not work?
They do.
Common sense.
Yeah.
Common sense. So everybody is different. And that's the joy of a granddaughter's promise.
Every situation is different too.
But to that point, we say common sense. And for most people, what I always say on the show, when emotions are high, intelligence is real low. It's an emotionally charged situation that you're in when you're having to care for somebody that you weren't expecting, right? That you weren't expecting.
Well,
to have
that's
to care
why it's
for.
Good.
But
that granddaughter's promise.
That's
here.
The whole point is to have an advocate right. When your emotions are high. You have somebody intelligently advocating for you and logically advocating for you that you don't necessarily think. So, for those of you out there going, yeah, that seems like such a simple thing, and why didn't I think of that? Give yourself a break. Like, forgive yourself.
Yeah,
that's why you have programs like this.
That's right.
Christine,
well, you
who
know,
wants to help.
One thing I noticed too is as a parent ages, it divides a lot of families.
Oh.
It causes us so much stress. There was a meme once on Facebook with two guys with this woman and they're both pulling her and they're saying, and she's saying to them when they're little how much she loves them. And then as she gets older, they're pulling away and saying,
that's right.
You take care of her. You take care of her. Because it's worse yet,
you were possibly appointed healthcare surrogate or power of attorney, and because of the family strife, you've been removed,
right?
Or your name wasn't put
right.
on that.
And
do you know
that.
How against the law that is? That is horrendous. That's so disrespectful. And on that note, I just want to let people know: if you're a power of attorney or healthcare surrogate, and your loved one has a diagnosis of memory loss, or they're very sick or they're on any kind of medications, it's against the law to change the healthcare surrogate. So it's just a matter of time before those who are doing dirty deeds, what is not seen will be seen. So rest assured, if this has happened to you, you need to fight for your rights because your family set those things up. Your advance directives were set up when your family members decided you were the one
well, when
that they
was
trusted.
Sound body and mind, right?
Yes, but the problem is opportunists come in during a crisis mm-hmm. and they do something behind your back.
That's another Hindi film that
okay.
I saw, I tell you the truth.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, know, one of the things Christine Canavan Hunt, my good friend from A Granddaughter's Promise, you know, families have to be guided because a lot of people don't have funds set aside in a bank account. Some folks don't have a 401k.
That's a great point.
You know, some folks just don't understand how to identify the funding sources that they can have when a person is elderly and now requiring care. So talk to us a little bit about the navigation.
Well, let me just plug Leon.
Social Security, the VA, insurance benefits, long-term care insurance. No one should be left behind. So,
okay.
So talk to our listeners here on
yes.
People with CETA and Friends
about yes.
how to navigate that step. Once someone's fallen, they're in the hospital, the balloons are there, the flowers are there, the people are going home. What now?
Oh, that's such a good segue for me. Honestly, the next step is to sit down with A Granddaughter's Promise because we're a company that has so many connections with funds and services, and I'm going to go ahead and use the VA aid in attendance. People just don't realize that if their loved ones spent one day during wartime, that they may be eligible for close to $3,000 a month. It also covers the spouse. Oh, yeah, and guess what else? You can bring that, right? You can bring services into your home with that money. So there's funding available.
You just
from the
have
VA.
To know the knowledge.
Call me, and it is, let me make this very clear so everybody hears this. Where there's a lot of fish, there is a lot of shark. It is against the law to charge anyone to fill out VA paperwork. Now they'll have third-party companies, and there'll be other services, and we all want to make money, but I want you to know, and I want my clients to know, what they should not be paying for, that they have a choice. And whether you are going into an assisted living or you want to just find out services, this is a free service to you. I do need to correct one thing, please. You mentioned that I was nonprofit. I am not nonprofit. What I never charge families. If I place someone in assisted living after they've been there for 30 days, I'm given a commission. But the rest,
rightfully so.
But the rest of what I do is a gift, because it's been given to me, and it's no good if I can't share it with others.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and along with that, aid and assistance as well, as SSA has an extra help piece too, that I'm in the process of applying for this for a friend of mine who doesn't have any family around. And the SSA extra help actually pays for that Medicare that's taken out of his Social Security check, which is like $200 a month. So he's getting that. And he's also was eligible for EBT. So amazing. His food is being
amazing.
Paid for.
You know,
but the thing is, as much to your point, and a granddaughter's promise, and the whole reason for it is there is no manual that tells
there
you all
isn't,
of this.
Or, and it's overwhelming. And
it is overwhelming.
Can we talk about something, and it's off subject, but this is so important to me,
yes,
because
yes,
collectively
yes.
We're strong, right?
Yes.
We're sisters. There is a breakdown when somebody has lost a loved one. I know how difficult it was for Richard and I to go into the Social Security office and change my last name. Picture your mother, without your father, taking care of everything for you, 81 years old. You get a ride to the Social Security office. You walk in, you see this code thing. They don't even have a phone, and they're not, everything is pulled
it's
down. There's no one to talk
it's
to.
It's not user-friendly at
all. And then
there's
a guard over there. Do you know how scared and intimidated that lady is? She is not going to get her Social Security from her husband because she's scared. Why are we not plugging in Bright Futures to situations like this, where we can have volunteers at the Social Security office or the places where someone would just feel very unsure of themselves? We need to collectively go to our schools and bring that awareness. Let's place these kids where they need to be, not only because they need the hours, because they need to learn about the greatest generation, right?
So you mean like partner up?
I'm saying
so
let's use
elderly,
Bright Futures.
Yes.
Let's have these kids go to the Social Security office and guide, and I will train anybody. Let's go to the small care homes. Let's go ahead and visit. The only reason it's not being done is because there's no bridge. Well, there is a bridge, of course, but we have to have others cross that. And it's just speaking to them.
That's something that's actually a really good idea for you to bring up at the school board, because I actually saw something in Amsterdam where they partner
that's right.
up.
They live together.
Yeah, they partner up the elderly and the young people. And they learn skills from each other. And that's one of the things that they were talking about was the digital part of life.
I love the small care facilities just for that point, because the administrators only, they've got 5 or 6 residents and they hold the same high license, LNS, ECC, and standard. They can do that. They are able to teach them how to FaceTime. They're able to bring education in because you've got 2 to 3 caregivers for 5 or 6 residents.
That's right.
So let's
talk a little bit about some of the partnerships you have in town. I heard for your wedding, you showcased Aging Matters and what happens when someone signs up for Meals on Wheels and what Meals on Wheels does here in Brevard County, Florida. Well, of course, with some of the cuts we've had lately.
Oh, I'm so
with the
glad
Medicaid
you brought that up.
Cuts from the higher-ups, people who have and don't care, people don't have. You brought that up at your wedding, and you highlighted
okay,
what
that's
Aging
right.
Matters does.
Heck yeah. And I was sick to think that any cuts would come to the Aging Matter program. Yes, you know what? We went to a gala before we got married, and the food was delicious. It was catered by the kitchen, which is part of Aging Matters. Carol, who was the chef at Cafe Margot. Mm. We all know Cafe Margot, please.
Yes.
Once I learned that Richard and I, we just looked at each other and we're like, we have to do it. We have to use them. We have to cancel our caterers. We have to use them. How else are we going to be able to get the message out? So we had Tom come to our wedding, of course, the most beautiful write-off. Oops, I mean banquet wedding, right? Hello, right? It was a write-off.
So Meals on Wheels Kitchen catered your wedding.
It was elegant. It
oh
was
my
like
God.
A it was like a Long Island
Danny,
wedding.
What we're learning here.
Phenomenal.
With Cedar and Friends.
But and this is something that I wanted to say effectively to everybody. If you're going to hire a caterer, why not hire them? Because you are getting people off the waiting list of having food come to their house. And it's not just food. It's socialization. It's, I'm going to miss Sally's house, and every day she greets me and I hear the dog barking. I hear the dog barking, but I don't see Miss Sally. Sometimes that's the only person that sees the normal behaviors, and they can call 911.
That's right.
So this is so important.
It is.
So using them for our wedding was to send a message out. It's good enough for me, should be good enough for everybody else.
What a wonderful message. So for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we're speaking with Christine Canavan Hunt, and she runs this wonderful organization called A Granddaughter's Promise. And, you know, the mission of The Granddaughter's Promise, which I love, is you do help people in that in-between stage. People have to tour assisted livings. They feel overwhelmed. They don't know which nursing facility to choose. They're worried about the caregiver ratio to a patient. And with so much experience, your goal, Christine, is to connect families, show compassion, and also with all the technological advances we have, you also have to wrestle with that and their family members as well. How do you do this?
Okay, and I'm so glad that you said that. One of the first things that I want to make people aware is when you think you're calling in an assisted living, they're so creative now. You may be calling another company, a placement company, and you may not get the quality of introduction to homes that you think. I can't stand the fact that they are being misled on who they're calling. So be aware of checking. And that's another good thing of using A Granddaughter's Promise. Since we've been here, we were one of the first waves.
You were.
In the United States.
You were the
I'm one of five in the United States.
You were the first in Brevard that we knew about in Brevard. So give us your website.
Place where I'm in Care Patrol.
So give us your website and how someone could contact you. Because you know what? For listeners who are tuning in, I've worked in the long-term care industry for so long. And, you know, one slip and fall can, you know, you need help. You know, if you go on a vacation, God forbid there's an accident, they have to send you back home. You need help. And these things are overwhelming. Just the idea that you have to give up your lovely home, go to a facility, you have
to
get therapy. You don't know if you have insurance.
That's
you don't know what the co-payments are.
That's right.
Your children are working. Your grandchildren are working. You have to have an advocate in your corner that can coordinate your care.
And I
think that's where you come in handy.
For both your loved one and for you. Because, and that's a whole group of people that we're missing. Do you know that this is going to be an epidemic in Brevard County? It's going to be an epidemic because we don't have the resources for the baby boomers that are going to need placement. And here's something else, Sita. We're faced with a new group of people who could very well be very bullied when they go into assisted living.
And exploited.
And that's very important to me. In fact, if you go to my website, which is agranddaughterspromise.com, I purchased a whole bunch of vulnerable URLs or domains because I was so afraid that they would use it against people. Things like Black Lives Matter, LGBTQ. I mean, I own those assisted living because I was so afraid I will gift them to the right people, but I was not going to have it available to be used as a tool to the vulnerable and mislead people. And that's disgusting. We have to be very careful.
But you know what happens too? I mean, in the real world, you know, you have mom and dad, you have your picket fence, you raise your children, they go to college, they get a job, they move away to where the jobs are. And mom and dad are left alone, and then they become grandparents, and they're left alone. And we live in a society where people have become so selfish and that they throw things away. It's a throwaway society.
And that's
and the
elderly, family.
The elderly falls into that category.
Yes.
You are an exception in that you made a promise to your grandmother to help other people in her memory. And you're doing it. But you know how many people I know and I see that you're right. They don't know how to go to Social Security office. They don't know how to go to the bank and speak with the banker and change a beneficiary.
And
they don't.
And they don't know to use their Family Medical Leave Act when they have a deliverable from NASA. Maybe they're working for NASA. Maybe they're working for Lockheed. Maybe they're working for Grumman. And they've got so much that they're not going to say that they're waking up with their father or mother at 3 a.m. with poopy Picasso's on the wall, which happens, you know, smearing. There's so many areas that caregivers are affected and they're expected to be functional and pragmatic at work or with their children or with their community or with their church or their private time. There is the person that I am just as concerned with and why using our methodologies and our mindsets in our experience to be there for the whole family.
Well, you know, you bring up a really good point. You know, oftentimes we hear people talk about what's going on in our community with the school system, with daycares, nursing homes. And that's such a one. I'm glad you brought that up, because so many times a person comes to work and you don't know what's going on in this person's brain. Something happened prior to them coming to work. Did they have a good daycare for their children? Was the ratio of a per child to daycare worker sufficient? Did this person have assistance to pay for daycare if it's a single mom? You go to the school system, there are children who are hungry. And we have politicians, sorry to say it, who are voting to cut food.
Do I miss Dr. Barnes?
And so, you know, and then you have workers who are working at the Space Center who are sending up our shuttles. And you're right, their grandparents are older, their parents are aging. Who is looking out for the caregivers?
That's right.
And that's what you're doing.
Me, yes. We really started transitioning and focusing on the caregiver's mindset as well as appropriate placement about 6 years ago. And since my husband, Dr. Hunt, yeah, I love saying that, doctor.
Shout out to Dr.
Yes,
Hunt.
Yes, woohoo. But organizational leadership and now another PhD in psych, I'm able to have my mind see things in a different perspective, a different light. And isn't that awesome? Because it's opened up a whole new avenue for me to use my gifts and talents.
You know what I see in you? We say that we're supposed to be our brothers and sisters, keepers,
yes.
You are actually doing it. Because it's not about us, right? Life is a circle. Yes. And in that circle, we have all different types. We have all different races, creed, professions, people from all walks of life. But at the end of the day, we're all going to be either going to the cremation or the earth, right?
That's right.
And so it's what we leave behind. And here on Viewpoint with Sita and friends, we always say that we want to leave the earth a better place than we found it. We want to leave a good footprint behind. And taking care of the elderly, the children, the disenfranchised, the lonely amounts, the people with mental, you know, care struggles, those are the people that we want to be advocates for.
Not only that, but we're missing something that we'll want to carry on. And if we mute it out to a point where we no longer are bothered or feel it, that's a sad next generation.
It is. So again, give us the website one more time. I swear,
sure.
Danny, I felt like my mic cut off a little minute ago. I hope it didn't. I'm like, is he telling me? All right, so you go ahead. Give
sure.
The website.
www.agranddaughterspromise.com. Christine Canavan, A Granddaughter's Promise. You can Google it. We are crisis-driven, and I just love to connect.
Ellen, take it away.
Thank you so much.
Well, we have shared all of this great information. Of course, our connection, all of our connection with WeVenture as well is going to kick off our next part of our segment. But we're going to listen to our sponsors real quickly, and then we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Yes.
Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud9Furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud9. Mattress and Furniture. Located in Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7, Miss Ellen.
That's
and
right.
Everywhere and else on God's magnificent planet.
That's so true. 1510wwbc.com. Hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, there you can also get our archive of all of our shows on Mondays, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And then, of course, we share all of that on our social media, which is Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and on the website, which is SitaMediaInc.com. So we got a special
sponsor.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
For We Venture today, Dr. Christopher Przinski. He's devoted to care and treatment. The offices and staff of Dr. Przinski are devoted to the care and treatment of individuals with neurological diseases. They've been in practice of neurology since 1989, and they have two offices to serve you. One of the offices is in Melbourne. That's the primary office. And then they maintain a second office in Merritt Island. In the instance of Dr. Przinski, a patient is accepted and seen within 2 weeks of contacting their office.
And they were kind enough to sponsor the segment for We Venture today.
Exactly right.
And so for our listeners who are tuning in, you know, we all talk about business, whether it's women in business, men in business. And, you know, being Indian, you know, we tell our children lawyer, doctor, engineer, business. You know, they're groomed for that in the womb. But women have made significant strides in the business world, breaking barriers and shattering glass ceilings all over the world. And despite that progress, a lot of challenges remain. And that's why I decided today that we would have Dr. Catherine Rudloff, who serves as the executive director for We Venture Women's Business Center right here at FIT, to call into our show and talk a little bit with us about what she's doing there and all the great things. And yes, talk a little bit about the big gala that it just had. So, Dr. Rudloff, thank you for taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me today.
So you've been with We Venture for quite a while now.
Yeah, I joined, you know, in January of 2020, and I always say it was kind of a funny twist of fate. I had been a stay-at-home mom and just did consulting work kind of on the side and, you know, part-time for about a decade. And I was like, I'm ready to go back full-time. You know, my youngest was going to be two and or was maybe two and a half. And you know, I loved my first 2 months working at WeVenture and being out in the community and, you know, just engaging with our group of women. And then the pandemic hit and I felt like God just laughed at me and was like, no, you're going to be back at home with your kids, working full time and being their, you know, part-time teacher. So, yeah, I look back very fondly at it's been 5.5 years and all that we've lived through, helping businesses through the pandemic and then now through the big boom that Florida had in the years that followed. And now kind of we're heading into a little bit more economic turbulent waters again.
Yeah. And you know what I've known of you and what I've seen with my two eyes and I love about you, you've always been an advocate for women and children and small businesses. You always have. And it's no wonder that you ended up at We Venture and had such an awesome, would we call it a gala that we just had?
We do, yeah. So I appreciate that. You know, I am a passionate advocate for women and children. I'm a very passionate advocate about making sure that we do have economic opportunities for women and kind of the unique circumstances that we often find ourselves in. And our program is a public-private partnership. We are a program of the College of Business here at Florida Tech. We do receive some federal funding, but for the most part, we do rely on investment from the community to help keep our programs low or no cost. So the recent Wine, Women, and Shoes fundraising event that took place on August 2nd is our largest fundraising event that we host in the year.
Yeah. And, you know, as I was researching for the show, I was reading, you know, that in 2021 and 2022, I read that 12.3 million women-owned businesses in the United States, that's how much there were, and that businesses that women owned generated over $1.8 trillion annually. That was awesome. So talk to us a little bit about some of the services offered at WeVenture.
Yeah, absolutely. So women are actually the fastest growing segment of new business starts in the country, not just in the state of Florida. And for the 5 years leading up to the pandemic and since the pandemic, women-owned businesses have been creating more jobs than our male counterparts. So I like to say that while we did get a little bit later start in terms of growth, that we are seeing dramatic uptick in both the number of women-owned businesses and our economic impact that we're having. So at WeVenture, our goal is to provide services for every phase of the business life cycle, whether you're just getting started and need help with that business plan or sketching out initial funding to start your business, or all the way through if you're in a growth mode, you've been around for a few years and you're getting ready to hire maybe employee number 2 or employee number 10, you know, we want to be right there with you. And then we do work with a number of people who are thinking about what their exit strategy will look like, either selling or succession planning. So we offer free business coaching, and then we have our trademark Ignite 360 business mentorship program. And under that Ignite 360 brand, we also offer CEO and executive peer groups, as well as our Pathways Business Launch class. And then I get to lead, probably the favorite thing I get to do is our leadership development program. We lead the Athena leadership development class, and that's a cohort-based class for women who want to become more confident in their managerial and leadership skills.
So the woman in the WeVenture WBC started in 1988. And there is when did it start?
So the SBA and Congress passed the WBC grant program in 1988 with HR 5050. Florida Tech did not get a grant or apply for that grant until 2007. So the WBC program at a national level has been in place since 1988, but we, as WeVenture, because we're all independent centers, there's 150 WBCs around the country, from Puerto Rico to Alaska, we're in every state. But here in Melbourne, in Brevard County at Florida Tech, we did not become a program until 2007.
And I was very blessed to be part. This is Ellen Catherine. It's very nice to hear you again.
Yeah.
But I remember starting this whole piece with Jeanette Krar. And it was in the early, in 2006, 2007 piece. So what a blessing it's been to Brevard County and to all of the, you know, and we say women business and we're focusing a lot on that. But men have also been such a big part of making sure that the program happens as well as growing their own businesses as well.
Absolutely,
I know one of our clients was an MBA project that they did. And the business plan that they did, and now they're on their second location. So amazing things like that.
We market to women, and we want to help female entrepreneurs be more confident leaders, but our programs and services definitely are available to anyone. And so every year, about 20 to 30% of our clients are either male-owned businesses or family partnerships. And I would say that when you look at the data for business ownership, family partnerships are still a very significant portion of small businesses. You know, it is often, you know, the whole family's all in together, husband and wife, or, you know, various combinations of partners working together and are all in on the business.
Yeah. You know what I noticed too here in Brevard, we have a lot of women who are likely to start businesses in the healthcare sector and education sector as well. And these industries, they benefit people greatly here in Brevard. Do you see a lot of women who are starting off healthcare businesses like nursing agencies and things?
Yep. The healthcare industry is by and large our largest industry that we do help. And you're absolutely right. A lot of home healthcare, but also a lot of nurses, physicians, physician's assistants, they spin off and they see an opportunity to start their own business as opposed to working within the larger traditional system. So, It's a good mix, I would say, of specialties that we go across, but home healthcare is probably the largest segment that we see, and then just the healthcare industry in general. Usually it can be as high as 25% of the clients we see, and we help about 1,000 unique businesses a year. So it's a pretty sizable majority are in the healthcare field.
Wow. Catherine, it's Chrissy Canavan Hunt. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, how about
you on today too?
How about them Soul Man? Can we hear it for the Soul Man?
Our Soul Men were great. Yeah, our fundraiser, the Wine, Women, and Shoes event. One of the things that makes it so fun and so unique and interesting, we recruit wonderful gentlemen from the community, like Chrissy's husband, to volunteer as Soul Men. And in addition to helping raise some funds throughout the summer, they volunteer the day of the event to pour wine and sell raffle tickets, and they help during the live auction. And they just, in general, are there to make sure the ladies have a really good time.
You had some great sponsors, too. The community really came together for Wine, Women, and Shoes. If you want, I can give you a couple of minutes if you wanted to give a shout out to recap some of your sponsors, too.
Yeah, I'm so grateful to our event sponsors. You know, we couldn't put on an event like that. I mean, it truly is. It's almost 500 people in the room, and, you know, it's a five-hour event. It just couldn't come together without sponsors who helped make it possible. So Wells Fargo was our title sponsor, and we're so grateful. They are actually the largest investor in WeVenture. Since I've been here, they give us upwards of $25,000 a year. So we're very honored to stand by them and recognize them as our title sponsor. And then for the third year in a row, Dermatology and Plastic Surgery, the four-year best self practice led by Drs. Saluja and Dr. Novo. So honored to stand with them on stage and have the support of their entire. They just opened their third location in the last year. They employ over 50 individuals now. So they are a growing independent practice that we just love. And then so many others. I mean, we had over 100 sponsors get involved, but just some of our top ones: Audi of Melbourne, W&J Construction, Design Concepts, which is wonderful, Adrian Chandler, interior designer, the Dry Eye Center of Florida, Dr. Ramsauer is wonderful, Jenna Jewelers donates a significant amount of jewelry for our raffle, so people are actually leaving with the chance to win beautiful, you know, high-value jewelry pieces. Infinity Design is another one of our design partners that does a great job. Novel Engineering, Stiefel Wealth Management, and Montas and Turner Law Firm. I could go on forever, but
yeah. And one of our sponsors, Cloud9 Sleep Shop, also did one of your Diva dens too.
Oh, great! Which one? I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture.
Yes. Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture, Scotty. They were very helpful.
Yes.
They donated furniture for two of our Diva Dens. And that's what helps make the event. It's not just sitting around a table and somebody's getting an award or somebody's talking. Like, this is a very interactive, engaging, and designing these dens for our most generous sponsors. So they're in like lounge seating in the front row for the stage performance. Just is what makes it an over-the-top, unique experience here in Brevard.
Well, in addition to that, you also have these upcoming businesses, business education events. Do you quickly want to tell us about the two events coming up?
Yeah.
You have two business summits, right?
Well, three, actually. So we do a lot of virtual coaching, so you could join webinars and seminars all year long. But we're coming up into summit season. So next Monday on the 25th, we have partnered with Cocoa Village and the City of Cocoa to host a small business summit there at the Civic Center. And then in September, here on the campus of Florida Tech, we will host a Hispanic business summit. And that is a similar format, half-day business training, lectures, hands-on how-to for businesses. But the one in September then is entirely in Espanol. So that's a great opportunity for that growing segment of businesses here in Brevard. Then we host on October 2nd our Impact Business Summit, and that is our largest in-person training event of the year. It does gear a little bit more towards leadership development and management development as opposed to the business ed that we host in seminars all year, but it's a wonderful networking and engagement opportunity if you are a small business owner and executive and want that motivation and connection to help inspire you to keep going for the coming year.
Yeah, and you know what I like about WeVenture, and for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Dr. Catherine Rudloff, and she serves as the executive director of WeVenture Women's Business Center right here at the BIS College at the business of FIT. So, you know, a woman of color own almost, I don't know what the percentage here in Brevard, but in the U.S., I read that they own maybe about 50% of the businesses. And it does highlight the diversity and the resilience of women from all backgrounds that want to own a business. Are there any programs specifically for women of color at WeVenture, or is it all inclusive?
Everything is all inclusive. I don't think that we really, I wouldn't say that anything is specifically for women of color, but we do love to partner with our community that engage them. So we've partnered with some of the various, you know, historical Black sororities.
Yes.
We've partnered with the Black Chamber of Commerce. We love to partner with our kind of majority minority municipalities. So we do a lot with the city of Palm Bay, with the city of Cocoa, that have those higher racial and ethnic diversity, to make sure that our programs are being accessible to all entrepreneurs. And then we do, on our part, we make sure that we have a board that reflects the communities that we're trying to serve. And so making sure that we have folks that are involved with either those communities, community organizations, and that they help advise us on our program planning to make sure we're getting that outreach.
That's great representation, because women in business inspires so many young women and help them to become female leaders. And it really encourages young girls to pursue their dreams as well. And I'm so grateful that we here in Brevard are so blessed to have WeVenture, the business center. And I think Christine wanted to ask you another question, something that she was not aware that you guys do.
It just tickled me.
She almost jumped out of her
seat. I did. I'm like, I'm going to go over and see you. You mentioned that you support and help women who would like to sell their business. So you go full circle then. From getting
circle,
into,
yeah.
Well, let's talk to the audience about that aspect, you know, for, mm-hmm. like for a granddaughter's promise, not that I'm going to, but in case
just in case,
I would love to hear about that.
She wants to put the sure. information in her memory bank.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, succession planning is very important for businesses. And right now we are undergoing the largest transfer of wealth from generation to generation that's ever happened in the United States, as more boomers start to really retire and want to phase out. And it really does break our heart when people feel like, oh, I'm just going to shut it down, rather than if you work, you know, it might take some planning. This isn't something you do in 6 months, right? This is something you want to give yourself a year or two lead time, maybe even 3 years, to say, is there somebody that would be interested in buying the building and I can build up as a temporary partner and then transfer ownership through a buyout? Or is there somebody, you know, that within the family wants to think about succession planning? And often even switching, if you've got a thriving small business, what's becoming very popular is either the private equity route or the employee ownership route. So if you've got a budding small business, you definitely don't want to wait until, like, oh, my God, I need to retire tomorrow, to be thinking about what is your exit strategy.
I love that. I want to be in that class. Yeah. I want to be in that class. And I can, I'll be the first to say that's exactly right. I've been doing this for almost 22 years. And the last thing I want to do is just stop my business, because I've developed too many wonderful nuggets of information that matter. And I want to, you know, this is, I want to be in that class.
That's right. Well, you know, you brought up a really good point, because I remember a few years ago, I had a patient, I think he was 85 years old, and his son had come by to, you know, the guy still could write, I don't know how he did this, but he could still come by and get a check for like $45,000 to buy himself a boat or something in Fort Lauderdale. And later on, the old man was crying and he was telling me that he had a business, a sawmill business, and none of his children wanted that business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here he was laying in this bed, and his children were living in all different states. And he was telling me, he was saying, you know, honey, this business has been in my family for generations. And I wanted to see one of the children or grandchildren take it over and continue. But he said, sadly, I'm leaving the planet and I don't know what's going to happen. But what was going to happen, they were going to sell it. But he didn't have anything in place, you know, what was going to happen. So it's good that you're doing that, because for people
the legacy of your business is everything. And my kids don't want it either. They grew up with it. They're like, no, I don't want it. You know, but that you assume that, but we can't.
Somebody else might. And so we do try to, and when we have entrepreneurs that are coming, and you know what they say, don't reinvent a wheel. we always do like to say, like, is there a business that you're learning after, modeling after, that they might be looking for the exit strategy? Because it's actually easier to get funding to buy an existing building than for a startup company. So if you can do your research and get connected with somebody and say, hey, let's put together a 3 to 5 year plan for me to take over this business, you'll actually unlock far more doors for not just SBA lending, but other private lending, because that business then has, you know, financial records. They can go back and look at it. Whereas if you try to start from scratch, there's very little, it's much harder to get access to capital. Brilliant. To start in your business.
Well, you know, that brings me to my next point. Oftentimes when someone opens a business, if it's a family business, you have other people in the family involved. But I think here in the U.S., what I've seen a lot is someone will have a moment where they said, oh, I'll be good at this, and I'll open an air conditioning business or plumbing or nursing agency or whatever. And the family that should be helping, or maybe somebody could be like learning an internship, they don't want to learn. And so I see that culturally as well. I don't know if you see that as well, but I know folks, you know, from the Caribbean, Jamaican, Indian, from different places, and their children would step up to run that business because they were around this business. They learned how to do it. But a lot of people, their families are not involved. And I often wonder if that's a cultural thing, or is it that people are just not interested, like gas stations forever. You see the same Indian people and their family members.
Smart.
For generations
smart.
To come.
It's smart. It's
but
smart.
Then you'll have somebody to say, oh, I don't want to work in a gas station, but there's money. That's economic growth there. So do you see anything cultural when it comes to small businesses and who is going to take over?
I think the cultural difference is that as Americans, we have embraced individuality so much that most kids are raised to feel and want to be independent and different from their parents. Whereas in other cultures, that family kinship stays and remains much tighter, and you have longer term obligation. We are very individualistic, and we raise kids like, oh, Birdie, go do what you want to do, pursue your dreams and fly, as opposed to we are collectively still supporting each other economically, emotionally, socially supporting. You know, it's much more common in the United States than anywhere else in the world to move far away from your parents and immediate family.
And last question before Danny cuts off on Mike and over here. What are some of the challenges that women face as they try to open a business?
You know, access to capital is the number one challenge that clients still come saying, like, oh, if I only had, whether it's 5, 10, or 25,000 or 100,000, you know, they have the idea, they have the opportunity, but getting that initial phase. And startup funding is very difficult. And I'm sorry to break the news, there's no magic grant spigot where people are just handing out money. And so because we do work very hard to get people what we say lender ready, to have a good business plan, to have done your market research, so that when you're at a point to go into a bank, if you need some capital, that you can put your best foot forward. And then we directly, part of the fundraising that we do goes towards impact grants. So on October 2nd at the Impact Summit, you'll actually get to see the three finalists. We had the, you know, clients applied all summer, and we've just selected at our staff meeting this morning the three finalists. They will pitch their business idea, and then a panel of judges will then award three grants. And that's our way of drawing attention that access to capital is the number one issue female entrepreneurs face, and in some small way doing our part to help provide those micro grants.
Wow.
That's so exciting.
It is so exciting.
Wow. It sounds like a TV show that I know.
Doesn't it?
The Profit. That's how we felt when we were on those teams, for sure.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
how do we make it better?
So, Catherine, did you already put a date for the next year's Wine, Woman, and Shoes? Because, you know, those tickets were sold out before we knew it.
Yeah. So we have not picked a date for next year, but we will probably be announcing that this fall. I'm probably at the Impact Summit is usually when we do a save the date and put it out there. So
right.
Yeah.
And are you looking for any more mentors for the programs? Do you have enough volunteers that help or anything like that? Danny's telling us to cut, but if you could quickly answer that.
We never have enough volunteers. We're always looking. If you're an experienced business owner, if you have industry experience and you're at the give back part of life, we'd love to speak with you. We leverage a team, we say, of over 75 volunteer mentors in the community that help us, that work as subject matter experts to work with our clients.
It's an amazing program, and we will make sure that we put all of this information out on all of our social media as well as our website. Catherine, thank you so much for joining us. Chrissy, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you, Catherine.
Our resident guest here in the office. pleasure being with all
of
you.
Yeah.
In the office. Yeah, in the office. On Monday office. Thanks again, everyone, here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We will see you next week, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.